There are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky. When you're way up high and you look below at the world you left and the things you know, little more than a glance is enough to show you just how small you are. When you're way up high and you're on your own in the world like none that you've ever known, and the sky is lead and the earth is stone, you're free to do whatever pleases you, exploring things you never dare, cause you don't care when suddenly there's a big, tall, terrible giant at the door. A big, tall, terrible lady giant sweeping the floor. And she gives you food and she gives you rest, and she draws you close to her giant breast, and you know things now that you never knew before. Not till the sky. Only just when you made a friend and all, and you know she's big but you don't feel small, someone bigger than her comes along the hall to swallow you for lunch. And your heart is lead and your stomach stone, and you're really scared being all alone. And it's then that you miss all the things you've known in the world you left and the little you own. The fun is done, you steal what you can and run. And you scramble down and you look below, and the world you know begins to grow. The roof, the house, and your mother at the door. The roof, the house, and the world you never thought to explore. And you think of all of the things you've seen, and you wish that you could live in between. And you're back again, only different than before. After the sky, there are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible, awesome, scary, wonderful giants in the sky.
Good morning, and thank you, Leo. That was fantastic. What a way to set our mood today. I'm so delighted to be back here today, especially on St. Patrick's Day. I hope you got to hear maybe a little bit of pipes and drums yesterday if you checked out the parade. Something about the sound of bagpipes, man, just lights me up. It's easy to imagine why they use those on the battlefield to spur the warriors into battle. But this morning, we're going to explore the story of today's man of the hour, St. Patrick, and some of the amazing lessons that his life can offer us. Now, there are a lot of wonderful stories about St. Patrick, and a lot of those stories are most likely fables, stories that teach a moral, but that teach us to do the right thing. Sometimes, though, we can't take them all quite so literally. But Patrick demonstrated a quality, a principle, one of our 12 powers, in so many amazing ways. St. Patrick, I like to call a rock star of faith, a person whose whole life was dramatically changed and empowered by his faith in God. Faith is taken from the Latin word fidere, and that means to trust. Revealing Word defines it metaphysically as spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It's the magnetic power that draws us to our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance. Somehow, through years of challenge and adversity, St. Patrick managed to overcome fear and doubt, to trust that God would lead him on a mighty action. As the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:58, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So let's get right to our hero this morning, St. Patrick. Now, considering that he lived back before the Dark Ages, we know quite a lot about him. some that is documented and some that is most likely fable. Now, I want to get a couple of things right out on the table. First of all, did you know that St. Patrick wasn't Irish? Well, researchers believe he was actually born in Northern England, which is now known as Scotland. And today, March 17th, we commemorate the day that he died. And fortunately, he died from natural causes, so that will spare me having to share with you a grisly story of how he became a martyr. And let's talk about that snake thing right now. Probably the best known story about St. Patrick is that he drove the snakes out of Ireland. Well, it's seen commemorated in several pieces of church artwork. They love that tale. But the National Geographic Society website assured me that there were no snakes in Ireland to begin with. No fossils of snakes have ever been found there, so St. Patrick didn't have to charm the snakes into the sea. Our one historical account, though, says that when Patrick went to Ireland as a missionary, he encountered the Druids, those mystical priests that were known to wear snake tattoos on their bodies. Who knows? I just wanted to get that snake thing out right away. So, who was this guy, St. Patrick? Well, his real name was Maywin Sukkot. He was born around 390 AD. His parents were Romans and they lived in Scotland. Sometime during his teens, Patrick was kidnapped in a raid and taken away to Ireland as a slave. He was put to work as a shepherd. Often afraid and despairing that he would never be freed, he turned to God in prayer. During his captivity, as he learned the language and the customs of the Irish, he came to care deeply about the folks that were captive. Ireland at this time was ruled by the Celtic kings. Those Druids were the king's spiritual advisors, and they worshipped the natural elements, wind and fire and rain. It was thought that they could summon the snow or showers of fire and cover the land with a blinding fog. Sounds sort of cool, doesn't it? Like Merlin and the Arthurian legends. But after 6 years of being enslaved, Patrick had a dream where an angel appeared and told him to run away. So he escaped on a ship to France and he became a priest. Now, some historians say that Patrick continued to dream about the Irish, that they cried out for him in his dreams to return to Ireland. And sure enough, when he became a bishop, he was sent back to Ireland. It's said he returned to Ireland just before the celebration of the summer solstice. Now, that marks the end of the winter season and the coming again of the sun to show spring and summer evolving. The king of Ireland always lit the first fire after the darkness, from which all the other fires in the land were to be lighted. Well, Patrick arrived in Ireland a little bit early, and he lit a fire. Well, the king was furious. He sent his druids to investigate, and lo and behold, they decided that Patrick had magical powers, that his fire could never be extinguished. The Druids declared it would learn and burn forever. So the king gave Patrick permission to preach the faith throughout the land. And he lived and served as a missionary there for the next 40 years. He founded schools and churches and monasteries. And though he was largely self-educated, he founded institutions where literacy and learning would continue to thrive and grow. He traveled the whole country preaching and teaching and inspiring people of all social classes to serve God. And near the end of his life, he dreamed he saw all of Ireland lit up with the brightest rays of divine faith. He prayed that the light would never be extinguished. And the angel appeared and said, "Fear not. Your mission will never end." The monasteries that were founded by Patrick and his successors helped make possible the preservation of Western thought in the early Dark Ages. There's a beautiful tribute that says, "When the lights went out in Europe, a candle burned in Ireland, lit by Patrick." Now that's a lovely story, isn't it? We could almost have started off this talk with, "Once upon a time, there was a brave lad stolen away." But I think we can agree that St. Patrick was a pretty amazing guy. He was a little frightened kid stolen away who became a patron saint and whose legend thrives today. As I learned about him and prepared for today's talk, I recalled a phrase an Irish friend shared with me many years ago when she called me a great heart. In Ireland, she said, when a person is called a great heart, that means that they lead with their heart. As they live their lives giving and trusting and being courageous and loving. Wow, I like that. Perhaps when we are persons of faith, we can be great hearts. For me, it's that inner knowing of faith in the spirit, in that emotion that we can feel even before we can see it. Can you feel faith in Patrick's life? The faith to sustain him during captivity. The faith to love the Irish and see them as divine children of God, and the seeds of faith that he plants in the world still today. As Patrick sought God's direction and guidance, he had faith in that guidance he received in his dreams and in his desires of his heart. He trusted and he expected the best. The American Standard Bible has a wonderful twist on the verse from John 20:29. It reads, "Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed." I love that. It so resonates with the perfect unity concept of looking beyond appearances to see the good in all circumstances. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Well, if we watch the news on Sunday morning, it can be pretty hard to hang on to our faith some days. When a loved one is suffering or we see the evidence of war and famine around our world. But thank goodness, if we can turn off the media and just walk outside, thank God, in nature, we can trust that winter is followed by spring and summer. It's something we can count on too. We trust it. And what about Patrick's faith in his fellow men and women? Well, I kind of believe that as he knew more about the Irish, Patrick just fell under that spell, that charm, that wonderful music and storytelling, the singing and the wisdom and the great harmony. He came to witness and have faith in their goodness. He saw them as fellow children of God who lived and loved just as he did. And as a result, St. Patrick has been adopted as one of the great patrons of the downtrodden and excluded, beloved by anyone on the fringes of society. Now, as Britt reminded us, March is also Women's History Month. I was delighted to read that St. Patrick is considered to be a great supporter of women, particularly admiring their strength and their courage, especially the women who, like him, were enslaved. He wrote, "It is the women kept in slavery who suffer the most and who keep their spirits up despite the menacing and terrorizing they must endure. They follow God with backbone." Isn't that amazing? They follow God with backbone. So how are we to be inspired by Patrick's faith and let it guide us? How can we show our faith in our fellow men and women and plant those seeds of faith around us? In Lessons in Truth, Dr. Emily Cady said that desire in the heart is always God just tapping on the door of our consciousness. God wants each of us to be strong, self-sufficient men and women, to have power and dominion in our lives. So he places his desires for us in the heart. We become aware of the desire to be bigger and stronger and grander. Otherwise, we would have remained perfectly content as we were before. Now, hopefully, we will never be totally shaken from our lives like Patrick, who probably would have remained content with his Roman parents in Scotland until he was thrown into a totally different world. If you believe that God's will for you is to have life and have it abundantly, what would you do if you knew in faith you could not fail? Faith is that quality that enables us to look past appearances of lack, limitation, or difficulty, to take hold of the divine idea and believe in it, even if we cannot see evidence of it except in our minds. It also allows us the capacity to do things like turn the other cheek and go the extra mile and have patience and compassion and see the good in God in others. So how do we plant those seeds of faith? I'd like to suggest on this St. Patrick's Day, I encourage you to become of great heart, to let your faith help you lead with your heart, giving and trusting, being courageous and loving. As our dear Bishop John Shelby Spong always said, love wastefully. Throw the doors open of your great heart and share your prosperity, your time, your talents, and your treasure. Keep positive in your thoughts, words, and deeds, and mindful to build each other up and encourage each other, just as we do here at Unity of New York. I want to close out our time together this morning by sharing with you one final Irish tradition. Some of you may be familiar with the words. In good faith, we could not conclude any gathering on St. Patrick's Day without a good old-fashioned Irish blessing. I ask you now to take a good deep breath and just close your eyes for a moment. And let's take these words into our hearts for ourselves and for everyone. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of her hand. And so it is. Amen. I invite you to close your eyes and let's take a few deep breaths together and settle back into our chairs. How wonderful it is to know we can leave any confusion or concerns outside as we go within and set aside this sacred, quiet time. Daily Word reminds us that as we practice our faith in God and ask believing, we can count on it. We can expect only good. Our highest and best outcome is assured by faith. Just like waking up on a special birthday as a child or on Christmas morning, allow that same sense of excitement and anticipation to fill your senses once again. Even if outer circumstances aren't perfect to our liking this morning, we have faith that there is only good to claim today, and we welcome the expectation into our meditation time now. We exercised our faith already today, choosing to tune in. We had faith in the internet that our virtual connection would be strong and stable.
And even if we just walked from the kitchen to the computer, we walked in faith that there would be a warm welcome and love here at Unity of New York, and a positive, joyful message to fill the coming week with spiritual fuel. And as we take another deep breath in, imagine your heart space so full of faith and goodness that there is literally no room for lack or limitation. Silently, in your own mind and heart, let's know this together. As I walk in faith, today is my day. I expect only good now, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Let's see the world through God's eyes today, knowing I am always blessed with the desires of my heart through the perfect guidance of Spirit. And as we go within for a few moments of silence, I bring to mind my heart's desire for today. And in co-creation with Spirit, we see it powerfully manifesting now in our minds and hearts, in the silence. We take another deep breath in and gently begin to feel yourself returning slowly to full awareness. Know where you are this morning, on the train, in your home, on the street. We return together, refreshed now and renewed in our faith. We are filled with positive expectation. I expect only good today. And so it is. Amen.
Voice calling, keep walking, you're not alone. Where there is.